Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I'm Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
We were sent over a code for Citizen Sleeper, which is a very, very interesting game. So,
yeah,
Citizen Sleeper is basically a visual novel D&D campaign on a spaceship. Survival game.
Okay.
I can kind of throw all that out there. So,
sure.
I want to just kind of start with mechanically what this game is, because if you don't understand the mechanics are the immediate turnoff. So I actually tried playing this about a year ago when it came out. I had like a, I don't even remember how I played it. Oh, I think it was on Game Pass.
Probably Game Pass.
Yep. Yeah. And I think I turned it on and I played it for literally 10 minutes. Went, this feels very cool and I am not in the mood for it right now.
Yeah.
And turned it off. So what it is you basically just have, and the game starts with it, just a wall of text on the right side. It is a very much a visual novel. You are constantly reading things, interacting with characters, making dialogue choices as you go through. So it is a lot of reading. It is a lot of just picking and choosing. You really have no visuals outside of the spaceship itself and character portraits.
Oh, weird. What do you mean? Like there's just like a single shot of the spaceship and then just character portraits?
So while you're talking, it's just a wall of text with the character that's talking their portrait there.
Yeah.
And then when you're actually interacting, which we'll get into in a second, it's basically just a 3D model of the spaceship that you kind of zoom over and click on the part that you want to go to.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, I mean, there's no cutscenes. There's no character moving. Your character is never shown. These characters don't interact. It's all just that wall of text. So it's
like live or die by the writing, basically.
Exactly. Which we'll just say is phenomenal. It's so well written. We'll get into story in a second, too. But It is live or die by that. So again, when I turned it on a year ago and I just went, I've literally just been reading for 10 minutes. This is not what I wanted at like 11:30 at night where I just wanted to try out a cool game. So that needs to get out there. The other part of the game that you're doing is every day, or what they call a cycle, you wake up, you get a certain number of dice. It can max out at 5. But depending on how your character has been, because you're in a robot body that is slowly decaying, you get fewer dice to do things. And basically your dice let you do that many actions each cycle. So if you have 5 dice, you can do 5 action items that time. One, you've got a worse chance of it happening. I think 6 is the max number. Better chance of it happening, just, you know, kind of D&D-esque there. And then basically what you can do is you just kind of scroll across. The ship is basically a ring, and you just kind of scroll across it, and you go, okay, I want to go to the bar. What can I do at the bar? Who can I talk to at the bar? What can I find out at the bar? And again, and that's where it is just walls of text. So you go to the bar, and it just kind of zooms in on it. You've got 3 options. Buy a drink. You can work a shift at the bar, or maybe your light spoilers, you can turn the bar into like a distillery, and maybe you're every turn doing some action to build this into a distillery.
Oh, interesting. So do you know, so like how many options are you given per, like, so if I have 5 actions to make, how many actions can I take like per turns total? Like, is it like 30 different options to make or something?
As you go on, you get much, much more.
Oh, really? Okay.
So like initially you're probably just going to use all of your dice actions to work a shift at the bar to get money. And that's all you're really going to use them for. Or maybe one of the earlier ones is kind of finding some data. Maybe you just do those. By the end, you've probably got 10 to 15 side quests going.
Okay, sure.
And you've got 5 dice, and a lot of things build. So it's like, okay, you need to do this 5 times in order to get the like story unlocked to do the next step. So it's like, okay, I need to go get scrap. I need to get scrap 5 times, and each one of those is an action dice.
Oh, okay.
So we haven't really talked about story, but it gets very into like, what do you want to do by the end of this? Initially, it's very clear, like, okay, you're going to go here and talk to this person. Then you're going to go do this. By the end, it's like, I don't know, just pick something and go do it. I don't care. Like,
sure.
But then again, so you also, during your turn, you have money. Money spent is not an action dice. You can talk to some certain characters. That's not an action thing. So there are other things you can do. But each cycle maybe takes you somewhere between 3 and 10 minutes, depending on where you're at in the game and what you're trying to do. But every cycle, your body decays after, it's probably about 20 cycles. You basically get to the point where you're getting no dice.
Yeah.
And you get like a dice. So you're like, and then there's, you can buy basically this game's equivalent of medicine to reload that but it's expensive. So it's like you can kind of get screwed into where you're just like, go to cycle, wake up. There are also certain events that run on a cycle timer where it's like, this will happen in 5 cycles. So if you didn't do this other thing, this isn't going to happen.
Do you like, I mean, so are you kind of like, as you're getting closer and closer to the wire, you're like, I just got to commit one way or the other to whatever this is. So it, and then the follow up to that, do you end up with just like 15 half finished stories by the end, or how does that?
So kind of very like gameplay spoilers. There is very clearly like a point of no return.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So you can, there are certain things and events in there that will happen that will kind of cancel out other events if you don't do them.
Interesting. Sure.
Yeah, but there is definitely like at the end, I think I had like probably 9 open objectives still when I went through the, like the last step. It's like, okay, this is kind of your last step.
Yeah.
Once you do that, you can kind of pause there and it kind of goes, okay, just if you want to go 40 more cycles, just kind of doing some of these cleanup things, you could do that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it does have that. There is definitely like a sense of like, okay, we need to go. But there is kind of a couple points where it's like, okay, you can kind of chill for a second here and there to kind of map up some stuff. So you can kind of go there. But I do kind of want to get into the story a little bit because that's kind of the basics of the game. And again, I think if that all sounds good to you, the rest of this is easy because it's flawless and fantastic. My warning on this game would be if that stuff sounds boring to you, this game will be boring to you.
Sure. Yeah.
Getting into the story, it is fantastic. It is very much the anti-space capitalism, every country, planet, government is trying to screw everybody over and all this other stuff. So basically, your character wakes up as what's called a sleeper in this universe. So basically, you as a person decided to transfer your entire mind and psyche into a robotic body owned by a corporation. And you wake up when you become a sleeper, you have no real knowledge of your prior life and you are owned and a piece of property of this corporation. You are trying to escape from this corporation, which is how you wound up on this thing, is because basically you ran away and kind of the initial fear is that they are hunting down you to reclaim their property because you have ran away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where the game kicks off. From there, it's lots of like, okay, you're being tracked. Could you disable your tracker? There's a ship coming. Could you get on the ship? Mm-hmm. There is a person here. Do you want to hire protection from this person? Like, and you kind of start to get like these things of like, okay, what do you want to do as you discover this place? Because you've never been to this place. You don't know who you are, which kind of gives you that perfect protagonist with no backstory to start with, so you can take it in any direction without really feeling like, oh, that's not what this character would do, because you do have a complete open book here. And it almost gave me like a little bit of anxiety with it, where it was just constantly like, but is that the right choice? Do I want to do that? Ooh, do I want to spend my cycle here? Do I want to go that way? And again, there are a ton of different things. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't really mess with, where I was like, that doesn't sound interesting to me. I'm not gonna get into that too much. And it's just constantly this exploring. The characters there are very interesting. Every conversation side quest you complete, you kind of learn a little bit more about what this space station is. You learn a little bit more about these corporations that are working and how like they've developed things and it's gone that way. Just to tie it back into something else I like, it's kind of like The Expanse with the Belters, where it's like these people have kind of been beaten down to like death and nobody gives a shit about them. And we're just kind of stuck on this station and we're living life the best that we can. And these corporations came in and did this to us, but this person came in and we thought they were going to help us, but they didn't. And oh yeah, that family's been trying to open that bar since the station. It's just all this kind of history and stuff. It's just super, super interesting. The writing is great. The characters are interesting. It's just, it's so, 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 so good.
I know there's a lot of options, but is it good guy option, bad guy option, or do you find yourself kind of making like, I know you typically play Paragon, I just kind of like just catch all for like playing the good guy sort of stuff, but like, was there decisions you're making like, I'd probably not be the bad guy, but I need to do this for my own survival sort of thing?
There's a couple where I was like, I feel like I'm really gonna get screwed if I don't pick this.
Yeah.
One of the earlier quests is basically this guy's coming to hunt you down. And it very much kind of tempts you into certain directions with how you handle him once he eventually does arrive.
Yeah.
That gives you kind of that like, oh, I don't want to pick that one, but I really feel like I'm going to get screwed if I pick the other one. Like, I don't know what would even happen if I try. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah, they, like you feel kind of grimy after you chose certain
stuff.
Yes,
there are lots of grimy choices.
I love stuff like that. That's always
lots of, especially in the side stories. There's lots of grimy stuff where it's like you can take 5 cycles to learn about this, or you can take 2 cycles and just steal all of it and be done with it. Like there's lots of that kind of stuff where it's like clearly you're doing the wrong thing, but like. It's 1 cycle versus 5. Like, come on now.
Yeah, and I gotta survive this situation sort of thing. That's cool.
It does have those survival game elements, but I don't really care for survival games, and I feel like this one implements them with them having penalties, with it never feeling like you're completely gonna get screwed because you have so much heads up on stuff. You have basically 2 bars you're monitoring. One is your basically how many cycles until your body decays. And you lose all your dice, and then like an energy one that affects how much you decay every time. Mm-hmm. They're very easy to refill, and it never really gave me that like survival game, like, oh, I just need to go do this because they're just quick and easy. But it definitely gives you a little bit more of that weight too, of like, oh, I got to do this, or like you said, I'm going to kind of fall apart. So
it's less maintenance and more like my decisions matter. Like I have limited resources, and my decisions matter. Not it's just maintenance.
Is now the time that I go and like refill my bar so I can get back to 5 dice, but that's going to cost me 100 of my 130 credits.
Yeah.
Or do I spend the 50 credits to go do this side quest that I wanted to do? It's a lot of those types of decisions.
That's cool.
I'm going to need to buy that medicine eventually, but now I'm running with 2 dice. If I do it, then I'm back up to 5 dice. So then maybe I can do this, but I don't have any money. So do I go back and work? It's many fun decisions, and it just plays in your brain so much. It's very interesting. It's fantastic game, but I do think it is very specifically for certain people.
And you being one of those people.
Me being one of those people. But we are Workforce Gaming. We try and get new videos up every Monday. Leave a comment below. Subscribe to our channel. We'll see you later.
Bye.